Hey everybody, welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. I'm Brandon, and with me is the guy who would wait in line for 5 hours for a donut, Cortland. How are you doing, Cortland?
You know what? I've done that before. No, I haven't. That's a long line, Brandon. But I would. I love donuts. Do you love donuts,
What's
Brandon?
What's the longest you've waited in line for a food item?
We're talking like not a restaurant, right?
Wherever, man.
You know what?
The question is yours.
I was in Chicago earlier this year, and I did wait probably half an hour for donuts. So it's very relevant.
Okay. That is a long time.
Yeah, the donuts weren't even that good. So.
Oh.
Yeah, it didn't really make me want to live in Chicago, so.
Okay, I thought you were just going to end the sentence early.
It didn't make me want to live, yeah.
I just didn't want to live anymore.
No, it didn't really sway me to move to Chicago.
Yeah, okay. Well, it would probably take more than donuts to do that anyway. How are you doing, Cortland?
Fair. I'm doing okay, Brandon. I'm a little sleepy, but, you know. It's an exciting day, Brandon, because we are on episode 10 of 10 of Goosebumps 2023 already.
It's exciting, but it's also sad.
It is very sad, Brandon. I've really enjoyed talking with you about Goosebumps again.
Yeah. Well, this is it. It's over forever.
Yeah.
This is definitive. It's the end.
This is the end of the podcast, right?
I'm pretty sure this is the end of our friendship. I mean, we've made this joke so many times.
Look, if we can't sit here and chit-chat about Margo and the gang, what's the fucking point?
I don't know. It's just like the donuts. Like, I don't think I want to live anymore. On that happy note, Cortland.
Yeah.
We are talking about episode 10 of the Goosebumps 2023 series. And this is Welcome to Horrorland.
Yes.
And what a name for this episode. It's so fitting. Like, it doesn't give you false hopes for what we're going to see or anything.
No, it's just horrors. Horror upon horror.
What did you think of it?
You know, Brandon, I don't... I'd like to talk with you about it to maybe see how my opinion changes a little bit. I was left a bit confused, if you will. Mm-hmm. This episode being the last episode, they throw a lot at you, and things kind of move a bit quick in this episode. Like, they introduce, like, a lot of things, and then they do things with them, and I'm like, I don't know. Maybe they should have introduced some of these things maybe in like the first episode and then come back to it. And you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I didn't hate it, Brandon.
All right. Glowing endorsement from Cortland. He didn't hate it.
No. And I don't think it's bad. It was I was confused.
I'm going to say that the pacing for this episode's a bit messy. Tonally, it's a lot different from the rest of the episodes. And I was going into this like, where are they going to go? Because, again, the story was wrapped up, so this is really all like an epilogue.
Yeah, this is like...
That didn't need to happen.
This is like the post-game stuff in a video game that you don't really have to do, but
yeah,
you
know, you're going to do it for completion's sake. The real final boss, but like, you know, the first final boss was okay.
Yeah. Like I said, I liked it. It didn't make me change my thoughts on Goosebumps. I still really, really, really enjoyed the 2023 Goosebumps series. It seems like, I don't want to spoil anything, it seems to leave it up to like a potential next series coming, and I hope they actually do that because that'd be great. But they decided, like, you know what, fuck the parents. Who cares about what the kids are really doing? They just have to go, go, go.
Yes. Like, this episode probably could have been like a double length episode,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't.
Yeah.
So they crammed everything into a very short amount of time.
Right.
And let's just talk about it because,
okay,
like, that's kind of the problem with the episode right away.
We start in like the 1800s,
yeah.
Don't we?
So we start all the way back in 1879. And right away, I'm like, yo, we've got a lot of stuff going on in the present. Do we really have time to go back to 1879 for a little bit? But that's where we are. We're back in 1879 in the War of 1879. So
famous war. Yeah.
We see soldiers fighting, and a guy gets shot, as you do in war, mm-hmm. and he falls down into some sort of underground chamber, some kind of temple.
Sure. Yep. On the trenches of America, maybe? I don't know. Where we even are.
In the trenches of 1879.
Yeah.
Well, I Googled it just to be
see,
like,
what
the hell are we? And apparently 1879, there was the Anglo-Zulu War.
I never heard of it.
So... maybe that's what this is, because he is definitely British.
It's the 1879 Goosebumps War. Yeah.
It's the R.L. Stine War.
You know what? I appreciate that you looked it up, because I didn't. I was just like, I don't know.
They could have just picked a year. But anyway, so this guy's down there. He's bleeding and he's dying.
Oh, no.
And we hear a heartbeat. And he's like, what's down here? And I thought for a second he was going to find Slappy and it was going to be like Jumanji.
Oh, if only.
But that's not what happens. He lights a little fire and the whole temple like lights up and he's able to see. And there's like a whole bunch of writing on the walls. And he starts reading it and the writing on the walls starts lighting up and his wounds start healing themselves, and the blood that he's dripping...
Yeah, like Wolverine.
...literally drips back into his body.
Much like the door did in the first episode, where it sucked up Justin Long's blood, right?
Yeah, it's just like... And that's that. That's that. We get our boring Goosebumps intro.
Okay.
But for the last time, so it's bittersweet.
Oh, sure.
But still boring. Now we're in New York City in 1885. Oh. So this Why? Is a little bit later.
Why, so, though?
After the intro, you're like, okay, that gave us a little bit of flavor for the story, but now let's get back into the action. But no, we're still in flashback, even though we're in the last episode, and they have a lot to tie up.
Okay.
That same dude, the soldier who didn't die, is walking into a circus camp.
Yeah, sure.
And he walks into one of the large tents, and it's just, like, filled with dummy parts.
Creepy.
Yeah. I don't know, every circus needs a dummy graveyard.
They do in the 1800s.
Yeah, a man comes out, and he's like, hey, and he's like practically the Geppetto of this place. He builds all these dolls.
Okay.
His name is Franz. And
of course it is. Why wouldn't it be?
The other guy introduces himself as Kandu.
Oh my god.
Kandu.
I don't care. I want to see that. The kids and the adults.
No, Cortland. We have a lot to go here in the 1800s.
I'm sorry. I'm stalling. Just continue.
So Franz is like, oh, you're Kandu. You're the magician. And Kandu is like, I'm not a magician. I don't do magic tricks. Tricks are what whores do for money.
Does he say that? No. I thought you were going to say tricks are for kids, but go continue, bro. I'm sorry.
He makes doll parts come alive. He's like, he says some magical words and doll parts come up and he does a little dance. And that's how you know he's magic. He's like, I'm magic for real.
All right. Fine.
So Kandu tells Franz, like, your circus sucks, but I can make it awesome. But you got to do a little something for me.
Okay.
And Franz is like, all right. So now we cut to 1886.
Why?
This is our third time period of this episode, Cortland, and we still haven't seen our characters.
If it doesn't start with 19, I don't care, okay?
So now we're in 1886, and...
Sure.
Kandu is saying his little slappy curse words to a man, and that man turns into a puppet.
Why?
He gets the Hayden Christensen treatment.
Okay.
And Franz sees this, and he's like, oh my god, you made them puppets. And Kandu's like, yeah, I did, but I can make you like the puppet master.
Okay, I'm listening.
And Franz is like, I don't know about that. So he don't really like that. So he goes back to his little tent, and he makes a special puppet. And we get a little puppet montage of him like building this puppet and banging the irons and putting the sword into the fire and tying his pretty little bow tie. And then he's done. He makes the puppet and he takes it back to Kandu and he presents it to him as a present. He opens it up and it's Slappy.
What?
But you didn't see that coming.
No, nope, sure didn't.
And Franz is like, guess what? It's your time to be the puppet now. And he starts to read those curse words out loud, but he says it very slowly. He's like, Klaatu, Verata, and Kandu is like, oh, fuck this, and he goes and stabs Franz.
Oh, man, he should have talked faster.
I know! God. Like, he knew the words. He wasn't reading them off a piece of paper. He knew them, but he just said them slow.
Maybe they should have made him read it off of paper.
Yeah. Idiot. So he's stabbed, and then he dies very slowly, too. but not too slowly to finish the curse. So he keeps saying the words.
Okay.
And guess what? Khonduu's a puppet now. He's in the puppet.
Okay.
He's Slappy Corp.
Why? Who came up with the name Slappy? Why does he got to be named Slappy?
I think Franz did. I think he's like, this is Slappy.
Okay. All right. Never mind. I'm derailing right. things. We got to get to the present day, perhaps.
Now we're in 1887.
Never mind.
No. Okay. We're back to the present.
Okay. Okay.
We're in Seattle, and the kids are all waking up to a wonderful, gray, cloudy morning. And Margo's like, hey, guys, my mom is getting bagels. So they're all like, all right, we'll stay in Seattle for the bagels.
Yeah, I would, too.
They discuss Lucas and how he just left without having an argument with Margo like he should have. And Margo's like, fuck it. I'm good. Whatever. I don't need him. She's like, let's go see my new high school, which is basically her saying, yeah, I'm picking Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And James notices that during this whole thing, Isaiah hasn't said a word during all of this. And Isaiah is just sitting at a table with like a drink, and he literally does the like Kermit the Frog, that's none of my business thing.
He does, yeah.
It's great. And then we cut to Lucas. And Lucas is just walking back in Port Lawrence.
Yeah, he's already there. Apparently it's not very far away.
No, he just left and got there in like 2 hours. And Margo calls him, but he's like, and he doesn't answer that. And he goes back to his mom's cafe.
I'm going to say, Brandon, I love Lucas's phone because it's all jacked up. It's got like tape on it and everything. Like it is broken as it would be.
So that's like a good detail.
Yeah, I like the detail. Sorry, continue.
He calls out for Nora, but she's not there. Like no one's in the cafe. It's completely empty. But he turns the corner and Lucas's dad is there.
Okay.
And he's like, you dead though.
Yeah.
And his dad is like, oh no, Luke, I was in the witness protection program and I just had to hide and I couldn't tell you for reasons. Lucas is like, I don't know about this. But then Nora comes in and she's like, no, it's cool. He couldn't tell you and we just let you have emotional issues for a long time and it's cool. It's all cool.
It's fine.
So his dad's like, give me your hand, son. And he's like, all right, fine. But when Lucas touches his dad's hand, we see that it's not actually his dad. Because his dad is dead. It's Khonduu.
Yes, it is. Yeah. AKA Slappy.
Yeah. So Khonduu is like, it's me. And then Nora is actually a dummy.
Yes. So in the time from when Justin Long summoned zombie Khonduu, he has already like turned everybody into dummies. That's why there's nobody in the cafe and why Nora is a dummy. I was a little disappointed, I have to say, that Nora was so easily turned into a dummy.
Yeah, like her psychic abilities and stuff actually had nothing to do with the
story
in the end.
She's really in the story at all, yeah.
Yeah. And Lucas is a dummy too now because he touched the hand.
Ugh.
You touch the hand and you're a dummy.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't touch anybody. They didn't put you in a dummy.
You fall for tricks like that, like, oh, I wasn't actually dead. Then you're a dummy.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Back with the other kids, they get back into Port Lawrence. And, like, their kids are all getting out of the car. And James is telling Isaiah, like, dude, you just got to go for it with Margo. So he does. He gets out of the car and he goes and grabs her hand. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? And Isaiah tries to be like, oh, it was just a prank, bro. But Margo's like, no, tell me what the fuck you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to do it. And he's just like, Margo, I like you.
I like you like you.
I like you like you. But I don't like you like you like you.
Sure.
And so, like, Isaiah just gives this big speech about how he's always loved her. And he just didn't want to ruin things and their friendship and blah, blah, blah. And after all that, Margo's just like, uh-huh, okay, I'll think about it.
Yep. I mean, she's been through a lot. She's been through a lot lately.
They all have, sure. She broke up like half an hour ago. When Isaiah gets into his house, he sees that his parents are there with a football scout from the University of Washington. And this guy's like, we want to offer you a full scholarship.
So he can go to Seattle too.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Isaiah hesitates, and he's like, I don't know. This is fucking weird.
Yeah, he's like, I don't even know if I want to play football anymore. I broke my arm when I got attacked by fucking zombies.
Yeah, so this is weird. So then we see James driving up to his house, and he sees that that guy he really likes, Sam, is doing a promposal.
Oh my god, dressed as a sexy cat.
Yeah, he's like, let's have a perfect prom date or whatever. And James is like, huh, this is fucking weird.
Yeah.
Then we go to Margot at her house, and we see that her dad and her mom are back together now. And they're like, yeah, we patched things up, and it's cool. And Margot's like, this is fucking weird. But Isaiah runs in.
Huh.
And he saves her. And we see that it's actually Kondu.
It was him the whole time. One thing I will mention too, Brandon, is when Isaiah is going to go like sign his name to his scholarship or whatever, he looks down and he notices that his hand is not in a cast anymore.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
That's okay.
This episode's got layers.
Sure, yeah. But none for Isabella.
That's no the layers best for part. Isabella. That's the best part. The kids are all together in the car now, including Isabella, who did not get a little scene. She's like super B team.
Yeah, I was really disappointed that she didn't get one too. Like, it's not that hard. You just put it in. Enough of this 18 whatever bullshit. Give Isabella a tiny little bit of time here.
It would literally take like 15 seconds because, yeah. And it would be funny if they show it because they explain what happens to her. So she says that she went into her house and her mom was like, oh, Isabella, it's nice to see you. And that was instantly made her be like, this is fucking weird.
Yeah.
And that would have been hilarious to see.
It would have been so good. It would have been like the Marge Simpsons, Rice Krispie Treats thing where she's like, hi, dear, I love you. And she's like, nope, I'm out.
That would have been hilarious. And it would have been so easy for them to do. But no.
Even if they would have just cut to that when she's explaining it, like, that would have been fine. Because, like, you know, the other ones are pretty serious and like, what's this, you know? And then you got Isabella. I wish they would have. They should have.
Yeah, that sucks. So they go to Lucas's house to save him, but he's not there. But then suddenly he is there. And they see a man driving away in a motorcycle. And they're like, that's definitely Lucas, even though he's got a helmet on. And he's like fully suited up. But who else?
Very safe. He's very safely riding that motorcycle, which is very un-Lucas.
As Lucas would. So they chase him in their car. Then we cut, and suddenly it's nighttime, so they've been following him for a while.
Sure. It's not that big of a town, but okay.
They get to the school, and Lucas gets off of his bike, and he's facing away from the kids. Then he turns around, and he's a doll.
Oh, man, not Lucas.
And he does that Invasion of the Body Snatchers thing where he opens his mouth and he points at them and he's like, oh.
It's spooky.
Yeah. And then other dolls come out and the parents and they grab the kids and they drag them away. And they get to a big wooden tower. Just like the one we saw in the vision that Justin Long got.
So you're telling me in about 12 hours, I mean, I guess, you know, I've seen the Amish people, you know, that gif of them building a barn in like 12 hours. But like this tower's huge. And
when you get the whole town working together,
magical things can happen.
Everyone puts their differences aside and builds a giant tower to burn everyone alive. You can get shit done.
All right. Sure.
So the kids get taken to King Justin Long and he tells them the situation. He's like, all right, guys, everyone's dummies. And I made a deal with Slappy. And when he mentions Slappy, Kondu comes in and he's like, hey, it's me, human Slappy. Mm-hmm. And they're like, huh? And then Kondu says some magic words. And then they're back in the past.
Okay.
Again, Cortland, you thought you were in the present? Nope.
All right. Why, though? Why this time?
Because we have to recap what we already saw.
Okay, so the kids can know, sure.
Yes, but they could have just skipped the part where we saw it before and we would have just learned it with the kids. But whatever, whatever, it was whatever.
It's fine.
We didn't have time for Isabella, but yeah, okay. And we're back in that war and we see the exact thing we saw then where he gets shot and he's like, ugh, war's hell. And then he falls back into the little temple and he's like, I'm going to read the magic words. And then the Spispel brings him back to life. And he explains, here's the new part. We get a little new part. And he explains that all these words on this wall are a big spell that brings back monsters and ghosts and demons and worms and skeletons and all the most horrifying things you can imagine.
Oh, okay.
And that people need these monsters in the world, or they become monsters themselves. So
sure.
He's pulling End of the Watchmen, and he's like, I gotta release all these monsters to unite humanity. Because he's a good boy.
Okay.
But to do this ritual, you need to sacrifice 1,000 souls, about.
give or take. Okay.
Give or take roughly 1,000.
That's a lot.
So yeah, that's about the population of Port Lawrence. He's got everybody there in that tower. And then he just lighted on fire and bada bing, bada boom, Earth is saved.
Earth is saved by summoning demons and yes. worms.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So after Khandu tells the kids this, for some reason, I don't know what this, how this serves him, but now they know his secret plan, he leaves the room and he's like, all right, kill them. And they're like, huh, Justin Long's going to kill us? But he's like, no, I was talking to the dog. Then Fifi the vampire dog comes in to kill all the kids.
Okay. Fifi time. It's
vicious. But then Justin Long just straight up fucking murders that dog.
Right.
He beats it to death.
Yeah, he because he's writing with like a quill, I think. And he apparently it's sharp enough to pierce the heart of a vampire dog. So he just like fucking tackles Fifi to the ground and punctures her with a quill pen.
Yeah, and he's like, sorry. He's like, oh, Fifi, sorry for murdering you again. So Justin Long's very sorry about all this because this is all his fault. And he's like, oh, I didn't know Slappy was evil. And they're like, dude, why would you do this? And he's like, I needed an ending for my book.
Yeah, and the kids are all like, oh, there it is.
sure. Just use ChatGPT, but okay.
I know, right? That's what all the cool kids do these days.
So we also find out this little tidbit that that guy who turned Slappy into a doll from 18 whatever.
Sure.
That Franz guy is actually Justin Long's great-great-grandfather. Small world, okay. Huh?
I don't know when he had time to have kids, but okay.
So they're like, yeah, so apparently my great-great-grandfather stopped Slappy long ago. And the kids are like, what? Huh? How? Like, why didn't you mention this before? And he's like, I don't know. I don't know how he did it. I guess we would have to bring him back to life for me to figure that out. And the kids are like, oh.
Huh?
Yes, exactly. So we're back with Slappy, and he's gathered all the townspeople on that tower to sacrifice. And then Franz comes out.
What?
And he's alive. They made him alive. They brought back a man from death.
From death from 200 years ago? Okay. All right. Keep going.
He's back. Somehow.
Is he better than ever?
Somehow he's back. But anyway, Franz is like, yeah, I'm not here to stop Slappy. I just want to make up for my first betrayal. So he goes and grovels at Khandu's feet. And Khandu's like, yeah. This is great.
Okay.
So he gives Franz the torch to go light all the tower of people on fire. And he does. And all the people go on fire and they scream.
Yeah, they do.
Because they're burning alive. And the kids are all crying because their loved ones are dying in front of them in horribly painful ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And whew, that's a pretty rough way to end Goosebumps. But that's the end.
Wow.
But then,
10 episodes led up to that.
Then, Cortland.
Yeah.
We see that Khandu is a dummy.
Okay.
Because you see, Cortland, the way this whole thing works is like you show somebody a vision of something they want.
Okay.
Such as a scholarship to the University of Washington, or your parents who hate each other getting back together, or your mother saying, I'm happy to see you. And that turns you into a dummy.
Okay. I have a problem, Brandon.
Okay. Shoot. I can't imagine what it is.
So the way that they turn people dummy in this specific episode, and only this episode, is somebody has to fall for a visionary illusion, and then they turned into dummy. What about all the times that people just turned into dummies when magic words were spoken?
Cortland.
Am I stupid? I'm stupid, huh?
Yeah, I'm afraid to have to break this to you.
I'm dumb. Okay. Yeah. Okay, okay. You're the dummy. That's fine. Okay. That aside.
Yes. Moving on.
The power of illusion is unique to Slappy, right? So how could he fall for his own illusion and then get turned into a dummy? Was it Franz that had the power the whole time? Is Justin Long the super powerful one this whole time?
It seems like Kandu tries to act like he's magic just naturally, but it really seems like anyone who can read those words just is great at magic.
Okay. All right. That makes sense, because Justin Long
doesn't take any talent at all. It's literally just reading.
I was going to say, like, if you just accidentally deceive somebody, like you gaslight somebody for a second and then they fall for it, boom, they're dummies in this world.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly. You know what? Given the context of the story, it doesn't matter. These are just me nitpicking, so it's fine.
Yeah. So it's the kids and Justin Long are there like, oh, Slappy's back to being a dummy. That's cool. And they're looking through a spell book.
Where'd they get the spell book?
They just have it.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
They're like, that is just how this episode is.
Yeah.
They're like, we've got 35 minutes to wrap up this entire series, and we're just going to do it. And you just shut up.
Sorry. I'll stop.
No, I'm not saying that to you. That's them saying it to the audience.
No, I get it, Brandon. I'll stop. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. Just stop interrupting me.
Okay, I'll shush.
They're looking for a spell in that spell book, the one that turned Slappy into a dummy originally. But Justin Long can't remember what the thing is. He just knows it's like Madonna something.
Uh-huh.
And so they're looking through there. But Kandu just stops being a dummy now because he's just too powerful. And he's like, yeah, this ain't going to work on me for a long time. And I don't know how that works, but
Goosebumps rules, I don't know.
He grabs the torch from Isaiah's hands, and he's going to light that tower on fire. And the kids get all covered in smoky tentacles. Except Isaiah, who just doesn't, or breaks out of it or something, and he goes and tackles Kandu.
He uses the spell book. Like, he wipes it away with the spell book.
Yeah.
Why, though? I don't know.
Now Margot has the spell book, and she also escapes the tentacles. They're not very powerful. No. It's just smoke. And she reads from that book, and she says a curse that turns back time like Cher wanted to.
Yeah, it's like, if you could turn back time, but Margot does it, you guys.
Yeah. Cher just merely brings up the possibility, but she can never believe that it would actually happen. But Margot makes Cher's dreams come true. And they turn back time, and they just undo everything Kandu can't do, and he's back to being a dying...
I'm kidding.
This episode's going to be a mess.
It's fair. No, it doesn't matter. I'm not even going to edit this one. I'm just going to put it on.
All right.
You guys, like, here we go.
This raw is how footage. The sausage is made every week. And Kandu is a soldier again, and he's got a bullet wound, and the blood is not sucked back up into his body.
That's the worst.
And he's like, oh. And he gets dragged away by enemy soldiers, but not before he shoots Isaiah with his old-timey pistol.
Yeah, so he, like, goes all the way back into old-timey garb and has his pistol, and he points it at Margot, because, like, Margot did this, you know. Yeah. It's her fault.
Fuck Margot.
But... but he shoots, and Isaiah's like, no.
Yeah.
Jumps in front of her.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Then after that, Kandu gets dragged to hell, and all the parents turn back into people. And all the non-parents as well.
Yeah, all the everybody.
The town and the peoples. Lucas. Yes. Everyone is peoples again. And so now they rush to help Isaiah, but it's people not looking good.
Yeah, yeah. They're people again. They're like, what the hell are we doing? Why are we over here? Where did this tower come from?
No, they skip all that, and they're like, what? Where am I? Isaiah!
Yeah.
So we cut to the hospital. They're at the hospital now. Boom. And Nora's like, this is all our fault because of that person we killed back then, and no one argues with her.
And no, they don't.
James is like, hey, Lucas, by the way, Isaiah took a bullet from Margo. What did you do? Nothing. You were a dummy.
I don't know if that's the time for this, James. I found that James in this episode was resorted to, like, one-liners almost the entire episode, and it's like, I wanted more James. I wanted more James than Isabella, but we didn't get that. Well, I wanted more Lucas, too, but he was a dummy, so, like, I can excuse that.
Early on in the series, it was like, yeah, James was, like, Isaiah's buddy, and they were, like, very, very prominent characters. By the end, though, it's like, if you're not Margo, and you're not Lucas, and you're not Isaiah, like, just shut up.
Yeah, for real.
Stay out of the way.
You have nothing more to contribute to this story.
Yeah, you've done all you can, and that's it. Like, James, you drive the car. That's the only thing you do.
It really is. For the past, like, three episodes.
The doctor comes out now, and she's like, oh, Isaiah's gonna die, basically.
What?
That's what she says. She looks at her clipboard, and she's like, yeah, like, he's going bye-bye, and...
My God.
Yeah, so that's hard for the parents to hear, and they're very upset. So Margo goes in now, and she's got the whole room to herself, because no one else wants to say goodbye to Isaiah. And she's like, Isaiah, I'm just going to tell you that, like, I was going to say yes, and I want to be with you, and, yeah, let's make it happen, Captain. And... Okay. She says that she would do anything to bring him back. And luckily, she has that book with her. Oh, yes. The spell book.
She still has the spell book.
So she reads one of the spells from there, and Isaiah's eyes open because...
Hold on, Brandon. To make it more dramatic, Isaiah literally does die.
Because, oh, yeah.
Like, his machine's flatlined, and he fucking dies.
He dies without his parents or anyone else there to... be with him.
Just Margo.
He pretty much dies alone.
He waited specifically for Margo to be alone with him before he's like, all right, I'm gonna head out.
Yeah, he waits for her to come and be like, yeah, dude, let's do this. And then he's like, yeah, like, I don't want to put labels on us, like, so he opens his eyes and he's back alive, and we see him, like, sit up in bed. And his parents are still out in the hallway crying because they're not going to go in there.
No, fuck that.
So then we cut to Justin Long, and he's in the bathroom, and he's, like, crying. He's sad.
He's had a rough day.
Yeah.
He almost murdered 1,000 people.
It's been a time for him. Like, he had to kill Fifi. That was the worst part.
For sure.
And so he's, like, washing his face with water, and then he looks up into the mirror, and he's Candu now.
Oh, man.
He's just Candu, and he's okay. Like, oh, boy, here we go again. And that's the end.
Oh.
That's the end of the series.
Wow. Like I said at the beginning, boy. Though, it's up for more if they want to do more. They could do more from this story, which would be fine with me, or they could just, like, you know, make another. I hope it did well enough to make, like, another series, first of all. But, yeah.
So I went into this assuming that it was going to be a closed loop and that this was a mini series and the story was going to be over. And after seeing this ending, like, it's pretty clearly set up for just more stuff to happen with these characters.
Yeah. What more can you go from here?
We're abandoning anthology even more than the Are You Afraid of the Dark reboots.
Right. Ultimately, whatever happens, happens, and if they make more Goosebumps, then I'm happy. If it's this, cool. If it's something else, if it's a group of different kids and they do another 10-episode drawl of something else, that's fine with me, too. I don't care. Yeah, just give us more.
I enjoyed it enough. I mean, I was just surprised. It's not what I thought it was going to be like.
Same. Yeah. They could have just ended it with Margo resurrecting Isaiah, and that would be fine. But you know what? Hey, you know what? If we get more Justin Long out of anything... I'm a happy person.
Oh, God. If Justin Long is, like, the only person who returns and we just get the further adventures of Justin Long, like, sign me up.
I've already signed my name on it, on the petition. I gotta say, though, Brandon, like, this episode might have been my least favorite out of all 10 of them, but even then, it was still good.
Yeah, I'd say the only one that gives this one competition for that would be the completely filler episode.
Right. Scrapbook episode, yeah.
Yeah, of them just fucking around in the scrapbook. But even the worst episode of this series, I still enjoyed, so...
Yeah, I think it was... We had a lot of fun talking about it and laughing about the plot holes and the things that don't make sense. But no, that's what we do, you know? Overall, I thought it was a pretty tight story. I feel like I say that a lot recently, but...
Yeah, it's tight.
It was well-written, great acting. I don't have any complaints, besides this last episode was a little bit rushed. If they would have... I don't know. It was just way more compelling when it was Harold Biddle, I think. There was a little bit more emotions involved in it instead of this random dude from the 1800s. But it's fine. I think they did a good job, and I hope they do more.
I'm always the first one to be like, it's too much slappy, guys, when it comes to Goosebumps. So I was interested to see that, like, yeah, Slappy's a crazy dummy, but, like, he's also just some dude who... does magic tricks.
So you're trying to tell me, Brandon, is there wasn't enough Slappy in your Goosebumps?
More Slappy, please.
No, you can't say that. You're gonna get what you asked for and you're gonna hate it.
Oh, be careful what you wish for.
There we go. That's the moral of all the stories we've listened to for the past 10 weeks.
Pretty much, yeah. All right, well, shit. This is probably it for, like, a year?
I mean, hopefully we'll get more of this. But, I mean, I've really, really, really enjoyed talking with you about the Goosebumps thing. I'm glad that we did this as kind of bonus episodes every week. I think it's been great. I love uploading it to the main feed of the podcast. Now, we do still do these kind of things. We do have plot points that we do for Patreon. So if you do want to continue listening to some bonus episodes, we post them once a week, typically on Mondays on Patreon. So patreon.com/privateisland.
Yeah, it's good stuff there. Good stuff everywhere. We're great.
We're amazing, yeah. So yeah, if you do want to listen to some more bonus episodes, I think we're going to be covering, we're finally getting back to 1985's Reanimator, right? That's what we're going to be doing next week?
I think so. I watched that like 3 months ago.
I know, and then we never talked about it. I'll have to watch it again, but that's fine. That's fine. Uh-huh. But yeah, I got to say, Brandon, I loved it. Let's continue this podcast, Brandon. Let's, you know, we said at the beginning, this was the end. I don't know. Maybe we should just continue it, you know?
Okay. I'll give this another go.
Except it'll be behind a paywall, so.
But I get it for free, right?
No.
Shit. All right. Well, we'll still be around. Just not talking about Goosebumps for a while.
No. Hopefully again someday.
Join us for everything else we do.
Yep. We're still covering Tales from the Crypt at this point. We got plot points in Patreon. We got stuff coming on here, guys. We got all good stuff. But yeah, I'm done for today, Brandon. I'm going to bed now. I've had enough of you.
That is a great idea. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.